Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Multiple things here can be true.
Will I ever be able to relate to somebody who is capable of jumping 40 inches into the air? Of course not. Like, I can't do that on a trampoline. But do I think that basketball is this neuroscience that only neuroscientists can understand? No, obviously not. Because there are a whole bunch of really, really bright people who analyze this thing at a really high level. Who don't have that experience in their back pocket. I think a combination of those two approaches are good. Like, I think the best front office slash player relationships are those where a front office looks at the sport in a certain way and looks at asset management in a certain way, and then also empowers the player to feel like their voice matters, right? Because eventually, if a player, especially a star, doesn't feel like their voice matters, well, they're going to look for a situation where it does. And I think what we're seeing here with Kevin Durant and with LeBron is that that has swung too far in the direction of LeBron and Kevin Durant dictating how these things go. The other aspect of this, that I think is worth kind of thinking about is, like you mentioned, younger players watching how these things play out and how that's going to impact the direction that all this goes. LeBron, Kevin Durant, no matter how you feel about them off of the court, no matter how you feel about them as leaders and what the jobs that they have done as general managers, they are this generation's two best players, I think.
Yeah.
It's those two, and then it's a gap, and then you can kind of make an argument for third. And I think Steph has probably stepped into that third slot, and then you start the conversation about fourth. But I think as these players, these young players especially, have watched this play out, Kevin Durant and LeBron's brands have taken hits. Because of the misses that they've made as pseudo GMs.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder if part of whether this is the end of star empowerment as we know it, or at least the trajectory that star empowerment was on, part of that equation here is future stars saying, oof, yeah, I saw that. I saw how that played out. I'm good.
I mean, I think a lot of this just gets into what personalities they have.
Yeah.
And I think it also depends on what lessons they learn. Like, this is
like, if people feel like this about LeBron and feel like this about Kevin Durant, how are they going to feel about me? And I'm not at that tier.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things I was kind of pointing out on Twitter, is like, Kevin Durant is one of maybe 50 people in the world who's so good at his job that he doesn't get laughed out of the room if he goes in there and demands that the person that did what he wanted gets fired because of the consequences of doing the things that he wanted.
Like, yeah.
That's how good you have to, which he is. He absolutely is that good. Mm-hmm. I think what's another thing that is important to talk about here is the lessons that you learn along the way, which is here's history is important. Kevin Garnett trusted
mm-hmm.
the people in charge of the Wolves. Like, he trusted them.
Yeah.
And in 2010, when they knock out LeBron, there's a scene on court where LeBron and KG hug. And KG's yeah. in his ear talking. And later, it was revealed that KG was basically like, do not wait. Don't make the same mistake I did.
Yeah.
Go take care of your legacy, essentially. And so if you look at LeBron's entire course from that moment, it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing that's really interesting is, okay, so the people with the Cavs didn't put a good enough team around him, and they didn't. Like, it was tough. Those teams were really good, but I get comparing his rosters since then to that one and being like, yeah, the Cavs probably could have done better. He goes to Miami, and they get him Shane Battier and Ray Allen, along with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, Mike Miller, all of these guys that are...
Mario Chalmers.
Mario was good. Mario hit some big shots.
I just love saying his name.
And he works in this organization that is successful, that had already won a title and was already competitive, and they win two titles. Mm-hmm. And LeBron's lesson from that is, okay, I figured it out. I can do it on my own now. Mm-hmm. Not, oh, hey, like, this is how an organization needs to be run, where like yeah. the people that are in charge of player development handle player development. The people that are in charge of player acquisition handle player acquisition. The people that are in charge of coaching handle coaching. And the players play the game with obvious input from the best yeah. players in the game. Like, no one's arguing that LeBron...
Remember, LeBron also wanted Riley to come down and take Spoelstra's spot, yes. which would have thrown the Miami Heat completely out of whack.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So he takes all of that, and his conclusion is, no, I can do it. Yeah. And he goes to Cleveland, and here's what's amazing. He does it, because that's how good he is.
Yeah.
Like, you look at that Cavs roster, and honestly, you're just kind of like, okay. Like,
yeah.
Kevin Love, last year's second sixth man of the year runner-up, and
yeah.
Kyrie, .. along with...
And that was like the best versions of all of these guys.
Right. And he makes it happen because of how singular, amazing, and incredible he is, but that also in turn makes him like validates the idea that the process was good, when in yeah. reality it's just like, no, man, that's how amazing you are at basketball.
Yeah.
Like, you are yeah. so good. You can handle the burden of you.
Yeah.
You are your own burden, and you manage to succeed despite yourself, which is absolutely incredible. And he goes to LA, and in all honesty, like, he kind of does it again.
Yeah.
Where, like, look, KCP's been traded twice. Or has been traded since he got dealt, right? Yeah. And, like, a lot of this is, like, I actually think that a lot of that 2020 team was pretty special from mm-hmm. the perspective of, like, I was never a Kuzma guy. And 2020, I was like, oh,
hey. Who's the best versions of themselves?
Kuzma's really good. And then the next yeah. season, Kuzma was really good. And then the playoffs came, and he didn't play. And I was like, what is happening? And I'm still kind of like, why is everyone out on Kyle Kuzma now?
Yeah.
But like, all of these things occur, right? And so now you're in this spot where you can argue, but like, they made moves, and this clearly, and I know you talked about this on the show, this has clearly been the whole argument from ownership's perspective, which is like, wait, why are you mad at us for doing what you wanted? Like, why are you upset and wanting to tear things down because we did what you wanted? Why? Yeah. Why is that? It's not our fault. You made the wrong decision. Like, that is the furthest end of player empowerment. And I do think that at some level, whether it's through CBA negotiations or whatever, I just think a cultural realignment will probably happen. That's going to have to be the law, because there's only so much that people will put up with being held responsible for other people's mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, I think the best way I would put it is that star empowerment was on a certain trajectory pre LeBron with the Lakers and especially pre Kyrie KD to the Nets. Cause at least the Lakers, like, we can explain away how the championship happened, but they have the championship. There was a proof of concept, and then they took that proof of concept and threw it out the window. With the identity of that team's with that team's identity. But I think that trajectory that star empowerment might have been on has now, I think, plateaued. I think we are in this next CBA negotiation is going to be fascinating, not just because of owners' reactions to the star empowerment era, but also non-stars' reactions to the star empowerment era. I think a lot of these, and they make up a bigger part of the union. Now, they don't have as loud a voice in this iteration of the union as they did a few years ago because there are more stars in key positions of the union. But I think a greater chunk of the players' union here, more players, are sitting here saying, hey, man, I'm really sick of being traded and uprooting my family every 3 months because my contract is valuable enough to help Star X accomplish what that star wants anytime that star decides that they want it. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see a union may not necessarily, or a union that might not necessarily be all that unified on this subject in particular.
I think it'll be interesting in the CBA negotiations for how it plays out, but that'll be so behind doors, and we'll see if anybody can really crack that. Because the other thing I think is, if you look at it, yes, these players wind up being traded and uprooting their family because of these star player machinations, but guys also win titles and get new contracts because of these guys. Mm-hmm. And there's always kind of been an understanding of the impact that the alpha has on everybody else. And once, honestly, this is like a big part of the young maturation process for players, is a lot of them have to realize,
oh, I'm in a bigger pond now.
Oh, I'm not the alpha. That guy. That's I'm just like here around him, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm his Robin. I'm his, you know, role player. I'm not the guy. And so
or
I think
Aquaman.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So I think there's a certain level of, and also players have always, because they're the only ones that understand what it's like to go through everything they go through. It's why they stick up for each other in pretty, I'll say it, disgusting situations. Like they stand up for one another because it's just like, nope, he's a player. And as a player, we're like the whole brotherhood thing. All players are part of a brotherhood. And so
I was listening to a pod the other day where a player copped to this specifically, that you are never, ever, 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 ever to say anything that might mess with a player's money, period. Yeah. Doesn't matter what that player did, what that player is accused of, how that player operates behind closed doors. You are never to mess with the player's money.
Yeah. And so, but, and I guess the thing here though is do we really feel like there's not been situations where a team was going to re-sign a guy and a star player was like,
you know, Caruso.
Yeah.
Wow. Weird.
That's probably happened once or twice, hypothetically.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that changes that stuff does go on. But again, it's all, you know, I think there is an interesting dynamic between how star players don't want to be part of an owner hierarchy, a team hierarchy. Rightfully so, I might add, because they're more important. Like I can say all this and talk about how important it is for people to be able to do their jobs, and yet like a key argument is just like, is Kevin Durant more important than Sean Marks? This is not close. This is not debatable.
An easy call for Josai if he really wants to keep Kevin Durant.
If this was Masai Ujiri, I would say the same thing. Kevin Durant's more important than Masai Ujiri, and Masai Ujiri is probably the best executive in the NBA and one of the best executives in NBA history.
Yeah.
Like there's all these guys that fit that bill. There's and they're never going to be more important than these players. But the question is not about whether or not they're more important. It's about, does the person who's most important get to decide everything? Is that the best way to accomplish your goal? Mm-hmm. But that's really what we're talking about here. It's not even, but like you talk about, if you make this into a moral argument, one, that's dumb. It's about, what's the best approach to succeed at the thing that everyone's trying to do, which is to win, which makes everyone money.
Well, that's the response that I always get when I say, you know, cause I pointed out that players want responsibility, but they don't necessarily want to deal with the accountability that comes with that. Right. And the response is always, well, that's how owners and GMs have operated forever. And my first response is not the good ones. And two, Those ones that there is a way to hold those guys accountable. And what we're finding out with these stars is that there isn't really a way to hold them accountable. If they say they want to be traded, they're going to get traded. And this is where this next CBA is going to be fascinating, because I think eventually teams are just going to say, like, Joe Tsai might just say, no, man, I have you under contract for 4 years. You want to hold out? You don't want to play? See, that's on you, bud.
Honestly,
I'm saying might. I wouldn't bet on it, but it's no, a thing that I think we're heading towards. But we just saw it with Simmons.
I go a further route, man. I go further on this, which is, I get it, right? Because it's like, you're going to lose money because of the ticket sales, and that's going to impact your bottom line, and then that's going to impact, theoretically, it has to impact, like, employees getting laid off. It shouldn't. You're all making billions of dollars. What are we talking about here? Yeah. But, like, that's what's going to happen. I go further on this, though, in that I'm like, look, the Spurs Popovich Kawhi situation is always going to be like extremely touchy. One of the things that's important to note is that the Spurs side of that story never got out.
Yeah. Because
the Spurs don't operate like that. The Spurs are like, the Thunder did not drop the, here's all the crappy things KD did when he was here story.
Right.
Never came. Just appreciate Kevin for everything he's given. He was amazing for this organization. It sucks that he's gone. Like,
yeah,
that's how they operate. But from the perspective of how the Spurs handled the Kawhi situation, it was very much like, no, like, this, we're not going to do this. We'll just move you. It's fine. Look, we'll just go do this. And then you can go do what you want. You can go in a year, you can sign with the Clippers and do whatever you want. Now, the counter argument to that is like, yeah, and look where the Spurs are now. They're set to be one of the worst teams in the NBA this season after they lost Kawhi. But a lot of this is like, yeah, if you lose the best player that you had, top five player in the league for nothing because of these events, you're going to go through the dark times. That's going to happen. But if I'm in the Nets situation, and I know this is easy for me to say, but I'm genuine, move on. Like, I would fire Steve Nash. I'd be like, Steve, I appreciate it, but we're going to go with a developmental coach. And
I'm surprised Nash hasn't quit yet. He doesn't need this.
Yeah, doesn't need it. And then I would be like, Sean, you did a great job rebuilding us with no assets last time. Guess what? You get to do it again. No trade. We got no picks. Good luck to you. But you use
bring KD back Kenny.
You use KD and Kyrie.
Yeah.
And you do whatever it is that you, honestly, the path for this is not that complicated. And you would actually like this, which is you trade KD and Kyrie for Anthony Davis and
that
Russell Westbrook.
Happen.
Why?
I mean, you know why.
So, yes and no, because I Zach Lowe has said on his podcast, the Lakers are never trading Kawhi. It's been said, like, that's on record from Zach Lowe. That is as good as
Kawhi or AD?
AD, sorry. Yeah. They're never trading AD. Like, that's never happening, right?
Yeah.
It's in blood when Zach Lowe says something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, I have 2 years of comments I can show you about LeBron basically subtweeting Anthony Davis and being like, boy, sure would be nice if someone was actually available to play.
Mm-hmm.
That could actually be on the court.
No, I mean,
if you're able to make the argument of, okay, yeah, it's Anthony Davis, but
yeah,
it's Kevin Durant and Kyrie, and we get rid of Russ. And if you're like, why would the Nets do this? It's because you can ship AD out and get back a ton of picks. Like, you get back some of what you gave up in the Harden deal to the next team that wants Anthony Davis. And then you take the Russell Westbrook contract and you sit on it for 2 years. And then you use that money to take on contracts for extra draft picks. And that's how you rebuild. Like, that path is not crazy to happen. This is all not going to occur.
No.
But my point here is that, to me, like, a better long-term approach in pursuit of the Nets' intention to win an NBA title, to compete, to be successful, the better option for them legitimately is to just move on.
Yeah, I think, and that's, so I always laugh at the idea, or I always laugh at the Lakers basically saying, man, it takes a special kind of ineptitude to have LeBron and AD on your team and still be fighting for the play-in 2 years after winning a championship. Like, that level of ineptitude is special. And I think, like, another version of that here is, it takes, you have to be a special level of difficult to work with to be as great as Kevin Durant is at playing basketball in a league where stars matter, and especially at a position where wings matter more than any other player. So this guy is special at a special position at a special time for players, for special players at that special position. And yet, Sai is probably going to think about this. Sai is probably going to think long and hard, even after the KD drops that ultimatum. Like, again, just like it takes a special level of ineptitude to screw up where the Lakers were 2 years ago, you have to be a uniquely annoying person to work with to be as talented as Kevin Durant is and still have his owner think about this long and hard about, but, hey, do I do, and just, and not even specific to Joe Tsai either. How many times have we heard that the Nets haven't been blown away with offers for Kevin Durant? You know why that is? Yeah. Because a lot of these teams are sitting here saying, he could do that to us. He could be this level of annoying with us. Yeah. So, I mean, it's wild.
Part of this, though, I think is it needs to be clear. If KD simply was like, look, I get it. Like, he's my guy and I'll always be friends with him. But Kyrie's thing with this year really did, like, it pretty much ruined our season. Yeah. So I get it. Like, he's unhappy. Go ahead and move him. I'll play out my contract here and we'll see, you know, where it leads, or at least say, like, I'll give you a year. Can you tell me that if in a year, if we're not contending for a title, that you'll move me? And they'll probably be like, yeah, that seems fair. Like,
yeah.
That's, you know, we're going to separate you from your best friend that you signed here with. We're going to trade him and bring in somebody else that you don't know. That's fair. Like, that's like an equitable proposition, because people will be like, well, he's under contract for 4 years. Okay, sure. But I think it's okay to be like, you know what? Like, we want to do right by, because he trusted in your organization before he destroyed it. But still, he did trust in your organization before he ruined you. And so I think that it would be reasonable to be like, okay, we're going to move Kyrie and we'll see if, like, that really was the problem. I kind of think it would be. I don't even necessarily, because a lot of this you can trace back. A lot of this, by every recorded indication, is that the key dispute here is over Durant, or is over Kyrie.
Yeah.
Like, that's the issue here. And
James Harden had them, like, walk away wondering about their commitment to basketball.
Here's a good way to put it. Durant is worth all of this.
Yeah.
Durant and Kyrie is not.
Yeah.
Like, if it's just like, you got to put up with what KD wants and making sure he's happy and getting his friends on role player contracts and this, that, and the other, or whatever, okay. But when you have KD, and then on top of it, you have to put up with, it's my birthday, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
When it's, I'm not going to get this. I don't care about this. I'm not going to get this vaccine. Screw you guys. Don't care what it does. Like, that's, once it becomes that level, then it's, that to me is like the, it really is the delimiter of, all right, KD's worth this. When it's, you have to put up with the stuff that comes with KD, because KD really is about basketball. Like, I'll say that about him. Like, every person that knows KD on a personal level says the guy loves basketball more than just about anyone in the world. I honestly, Anthony, I don't know if anyone in the history of the game has loved basketball more than KD. I'm serious. Like, by every indication, that's true.
He,
like,
hops on Twitter to talk basketball with just random people.
Some people loved winning more.
Yeah.
Right? Guy behind you. Like, some people loved the game, like the competition level, the thrill, the all of these things, the money, the lifestyle, all of these things more. The institution of the NBA, even from like an honor conceptual perspective, more. But just loving the game of basketball, I don't know that anybody else has ever loved it the way that KD does. However, that's undercut by basically being like, I'm willing to risk all of that for this guy.
That guy. Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. All right. Before we get out of here, how do you think this plays out? Like, do you think today was a step towards KD getting moved?
Yeah.
Do you think this is a step towards Hey, this is, so somebody made this point, and it's an interesting one. I don't know that I necessarily agree, but I think it's a fair one. And I'm sorry that I'm not giving you credit after seeing it on Twitter, but it's not necessarily a trade demand if you're telling your owner what it would take to stick around.
Right? Yeah.
So, look, the biased part of me wants to say that this is a step towards KD and Kyrie eventually getting moved. Even acknowledging everything that I said about Kyrie to this point, which says a lot about how little I enjoyed watching Russell Westbrook play basketball last year. But I want to say this is a step towards KD getting moved, but I'm not necessarily positive.
I am more confident he gets moved after today. And okay, the reason I would say that is there's two things to consider here. One, players are a brotherhood, but owners are business partners. Yeah. And every other owner is on the phone, not probably on the phone, but making it clear through whatever mechanisms that they need to say, do not set the precedent that this player gets to determine whether you fire your coach
right before CBA negotiations
or not. Now, that's coaches have gotten fired all the time because their star player didn't like them. All the time. Happened in Memphis with Mark Gasol.
Like, Nash Mark deserves to be fired.
Yes.
Right? He wasn't good.
And and players have played a role in various GMs getting fired.
Yeah.
I think you can draw a pretty reasonable line to that happening with the Blazers last year, actually. Mm-hmm. But there's like a, that at least was definitely not something that Dame stopped, right?
Yeah.
At the same time, it's very, this ties into the second part. By leaking this today, you go the extra mile.
Yeah.
Like it's, if you just, out there, if you just settle it and you make it known, like if you make it known to them, hey, do this or I want out. And then they fire Marks and Nash. Everyone's going to know why that happened, but you save the face of it being publicly known. And instead now you literally are caving to an extortion threat.
Yeah.
Like you're being held hostage by your star player who you have under contract.
Yeah.
And giving that kind of power up in the face of what has been known to be the owner's vociferous opposition to how all this has played out in the last couple of years, that threatens business relationships. And that's always going to come first, which is not to say that the other owners have any sort of mechanism against Sai. They'll be like, it's your team. You need to do what you know, like, handle your business because I want to handle my business.
Right.
But
you caving makes it more difficult for us to handle our business.
Like, also, let's appreciate the balls on Kevin Durant to walk into a room with a multi-billionaire and be like, you're going to give me what I want.
Yeah.
Or else.
I thought it was interesting and noteworthy that the leak today came from Shams.
Yep.
Shams being more player and agent friendly. Mm-hmm. Then and Woj, his ties to Sean Marks are very clear and out there.
Yep.
So had this been leaked from Woj, I would have said, oh, this is interesting. The Nets are really thinking about
Building. Well, no, I would say the Nets are building if it comes from Woj, my inclination is to say, oh, the Nets are laying the groundwork to where we had to trade. And look what he did.
Right. Right. But the fact that this was KD a full weekend after the meeting that happened, this was clearly like, hey, I told him what I wanted. This isn't getting done here. This is what I wanted. It's not done yet. I want to move on this. I want to know where I'm going to be next year. And I want to be able to direct the direction of this next step of my career. So I think all of this was very fascinating. I've taken up more than an hour of your time. You wanted to plug the Action Network app. Is there anything specific on there? Why should I re-download the Action Network app?
You get more of my beautiful face. That's why we have a new media center. All of our videos and podcasts are in there. I host a bi-weekly podcast in the off season, 5 days a week during the season called Buckets. It's about betting the NBA. We've got stuff on there about most improved player coming out this week. We're doing MVP on Friday. We're doing defensive player of the year. We've got defensive player of the year already out there. All sorts of stuff getting you set for the season where I'm doing win totals analysis on all 30 teams, the case of the over, the case of the under, all of that kind of stuff. You're not going to find better betting content than on Action Network and the Action Network app. And if you want to hear more, if you want to hear more of my NBA takes, you've got Locked On NBA. You can check out that podcast. I'm on every Monday. Great, opportunity to listen to me more there, as well as on Buckets. And if you want takes on the Nuggets, you can also find me on Locked On Nuggets.
There you go. Yeah, the Action Network stuff is great. I cannot more definitively.
I was ready. We can do this another time when you have me back on. I was ready to bet the Lakers over, being like, you know what? LeBron and AD, that's 50 wins. That's 50 wins, LeBron and AD. I don't care who else is on the roster. And then Jovan put out that graphic about who the starting five, the closing five would be. And I was like,
well,
delete bet in bet slip, slowly log out. Maybe not.
Let's see how the rest of this offseason goes. And like, I think a bet on the Lakers over is a bet that they get Kyrie.
Yeah.
That's the bet. Yeah. All right. That's going to do it here for this episode of the Anthony Irwin Show. Thank you very much, Matt, for hopping on and being as flexible as you have been, as always. Make sure you guys, so we have a quick scheduling note. No spaces tomorrow. I will be instead doing that on Thursday as Harrison is enjoying his second honeymoon. Yeah, Harrison, I'm putting your shit out there. So enjoy that on Thursday. Taco Tuesday guys are going to be regularly scheduled on Tuesday. For everything else, it'll remain the same. So until next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin. Thank you guys for listening.